again and welcome. Such an honor to be amid these mountains here at this Chapel of the Transfiguration, which for 100 years has been welcoming guests and visitors and hikers and Episcopalians, Baptists, people of all denominations and languages and creeds here to worship the great holy creator. It's wonderful to be here and I'm honored to be here. I'm Cynthia Kittredge. I'm a retired dean and biblical studies professor, so forgive me for any future sins I commit. It gets to me every time how kind of crazy it is to read this Bible, what we call Holy Scripture. It's been read by Christians in every period from the time of the earliest Christians. St. Augustine of Hippo has read it. Julian of Norwich has read it. Calvin and Luther have read it. Their arch enemies, the popes, have read it. J.D. Vance reads it. William Barber reads it. We all read it and honor it and have to figure out what it means and what it's saying to us. There are many ways to read it, but I'm going to talk about two. The first one is reading it to reinforce our own views, what we already know, what our opinions are, and anything it says that's critical, we apply to our enemies. Those so-and-sos, whatever, the people that aren't us. Slave owners in the American South read it to reinforce the institution of slavery that was their livelihood. And at the same time, out on a different part of the plantation, slaves were reading this scripture and hearing a word of liberation for them. Abolitionists read it and were called to abolish the very institution of slavery, which the Bible was legitimizing for other people. The second way to read it is harder, and it's more work, and it takes more emotional energy to let it in, but it's when we let it challenge us in our comfort and challenge our opinions to shake our foundations. And when we do that, it can offer a vision way beyond our sight. So we're going to try that second way with today's scripture reading. Notice the contrast between opposites. Life and death, blessing and curse. Stark choices, strong language, and commands. All this can sound very startling in our contemporary world, where we have lifestyle choices. Options. Not 10 commandments, but 10 suggestions. Our intellectual world, and I'm in it too, is about dialectic and fluidity and both and spectrum, not binaries. But listen to these stark choices. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. And I command you today, love God, your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments and regulations and rules so that you may live, really live, live exuberantly, blessed by your God in the land you're about to enter and possess. But I warn you, if you have a change of heart, refuse to listen and go off and serve other gods, you most certainly die. Live or die. Heaven or hell. One way leads to blessing, one to curse. Goodness leads to riches, children, flocks, land, and peace. If you love God and embrace God and conform to God's order. Jesus in Luke uses the same uncompromising, non-negotiable, stark language about what it will cost to be his disciple. Now, disciple sometimes can sound very technical. It really means his follower, or even his student, a member of his movement, a member of his household. So, what do human beings, then and now, care about the most? Well, first, their stuff, their status, their reputation, their image, or they call it their brand. But these commitments are not even close to what they care about even more. Their parents, their pedigree, siblings, their romantic love partner, and their children. We do all care about our families the most. Families are most precious. They're what we're most proud of. We may even unconsciously consider them to be a reward for our hard work, our righteousness, our virtue. They're a necessary and vital part of who we are. Jesus says, to be my disciple, my student, you have to let go, detach from, separate from, oppose. The Hebrew and Greek is literally hate. Mom, dad, your spouse, your kids, your siblings, whoever is dearest to you. Even what's really dearest to you, your own soul, your own life, your own self, your human essence. You have to hate that and give it away. That shakes our foundations. That overturns our expectations. That demands a change of behavior and a turn of heart. Remember the story of Jesus told in the Gospels. He was a rabbi who wandered around the countryside, who taught the way of God, who loved God. Love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. The rabbi, Jesus, channeled that love of God to those who were sick, to those who were bereaved, to those who were insane and penniless. And he channeled it to make them well, to restore them to their right mind, to feed them plentifully. Jesus tread the way of life and blessing. And did he live a long life, like a tree planted by the living waters? Did he earn flocks and fields and lots of children? No. He was rolled over, crushed by evil. He was nailed to a cross, executed by Rome. He lost his life. He gave up his life. He detached. He hated. He let go of his life. Maybe being a disciple of Jesus is foolish. It's not worth it. It costs too much. Maybe I'd rather not even start building that house or go into battle after all. But you see, the weird thing is, the paradox, the secret is that following Jesus, enrolling as his student, sharing his faith, shouldering the cross, is choosing life. It's loving God and obeying the law. The way of the cross is the way of life. And that's why you want to do it. Be a disciple. That's why I want to. That's why people are drawn to this person of Jesus, even when he's so odd and he says the most terrible things. Even if he sounds so sectarian and so literal. You wanted to be his disciple because it sets you free. When you take on that story of Jesus who surrendered his own life to the power of evil, when you lean into that defeat and failure and death, when you put your feet on that path and identify with Jesus' death, you get picked up and carried aloft and lifted up with him right out of that stone cold tomb. You get set free from the idol of perfection. You get released from your role in that old household, like Onesimus, the slave, got released from his obedience to Philemon. And he became a brother in Christ. You get released from being a dutiful wife or a self-sacrificing mother or an imperious master or a critical father. You get free from the tyranny of social expectations and put down the shame of an imperfect family. You conform to that story and become a disciple of Jesus, and you join a new household. You become part of a beloved community, a kingdom of God family, where a slave is a son and a slave is a sister. And we have glimpses of that new family right here, where there is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. We have a glimpse right this moment in this space. We have a glimpse in the church, in the house of Apphia and Archippus and Philemon and Onesimus. I have a glimpse at our parish in Austin, Texas, where the community has been so intensely bereaved by the 100-year flood. And we are ministering to each other in the name of Christ in the face of the most unimaginable loss. I see it in our seminary community, where students gather from all around the country to prepare to be priests and to learn to be counselors, to heal the world in the religious sphere and in the secular. I see it at St. John's in Jackson, and you see it in the places you go where social distinctions and biological family is important, but not anything above the community of Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus in his classroom, in his family, is choosing life and blessing. Life and blessing, even if your days are not long in the land, it is resurrection and eternal life. Even if you lose your land in war, even if you're surviving in the rubble in Gaza, even if you get that diagnosis that you don't want to hear, even if your little kids are swept away in a 100-year flood, even if you have setbacks and your friends disappoint you and your parents get old and they forget everything and they die, even so, in this household of God, we have life abundant. In this moment, this scripture invites us, even as it's shaking our foundations, to turn our hearts, to change our behavior, to choose life so that we may live, truly live, abundant life, exuberant life, forever and forever and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.